Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for each one that's come out. And Lord, as we look at your word, help us to have our hearts and minds stayed on it. And Lord, what you have to say to us. I ask, O God, that you continue your blessing upon us and helping us to see your will and your way. Be with the rest and the remaining of this service. In Jesus' name, amen. The scripture text for today is found in Matthew chapter 11, verses 2 through 11. Let us stand at the reading of God's holy word. And when John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Are you the one coming, or do we look for another?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me." As they departed, Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John, "What did you go out to see in the wilderness? A reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft garments? Indeed, those who wear soft clothing are in king's houses. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I say to you, even more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it has been written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you.' Assuredly, I say to you, among those born of women, there has risen one, no one greater than John the Baptist. But he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." These were thy words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us in thy truth. Thy word is eternally true. Amen. You may be seated. As we look at this portion of scripture, we have to look back at to what was written in Isaiah. Isaiah is one of the prophets in the Old Testament that tells probably one of the most of the coming of Christ. We find the first prophecy of Christ being in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. And I've had some discussions with different people on that particular verse because of the understanding or the way it's written. But we find, starting out there, God prophesies that he will send a Savior into the world. And through it, we find the thread interwoven through Scripture that talks about Christ's coming. Isaiah spends much time on talking about it. In Isaiah 7, 10 through 14, it talks about Ahaz and how he would not threaten or tempt God. And he says, God will give you a sign. A virgin will give birth to a child, a man-child, and his name will be called Emmanuel, or God with us. So we find that 730 years or so before Christ was born, that the prophecy of Christ's birth would be with a virgin. We find some 700 years before that, or before the birth of Christ, that Bethlehem was named as the town in which he would be born in. And the scribes and the Pharisees all understood this. And they were looking for a king to come, but they were looking for one to come in majesty and in great honor and pomp, pious, if you want to call it that, that he would be splendid and they would recognize him throughout all Judea and all Israel. Yet God chose to send Jesus because he loved the world so much he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus came as a baby, just as our children came as a child. That child has to be brought up and nurtured. That child has to be taken care of and clothed. That child is a child. And we find that through Jesus' life, the Spirit of God not only moved with him, but he lived a life as a human being in the flesh, a perfect life without sin. He was deity because he came from God, and God sent him from heaven to earth to take and die for our sin on the cross of Calvary. We at this time in Lent, or not Lent, in Advent, I should say, we are looking at the birth of Christ. And at that birth, we see the humbleness of how he was born. The trouble that Mary and Joseph had to go through to get to Bethlehem, how God used the things going on in the world to get Joseph and Mary to Bethlehem, and it was through taxation. We find our taxes we don't like, and many times we do not have to go to the town of our ancestors in order to file them, which is probably a good thing. But that back then, Herod wanted to know how many people he had and how much money he should be getting. Did he trust his tax collectors? Maybe not. But did he want more? Probably. But we find that it was, as told us in Galatians, Paul says, when the fulfillment of time was come, Christ was sent to the earth and died for our sins. He lived, and he lived one life of peace, one of telling the people how they had misaligned the law of God and how they should be living for Christ or for God himself to fulfill the Ten Commandments. When Christ came, he gave us the new covenant. And that new covenant is through believing on him and what he did on the cross of Calvary. And many times we find that hard to accept or hard to understand. We find that the mysteries of God was given to us as we read and study the word. As Christians, we are all stewards of God. We are to proclaim the birth of Christ and that he came to die for the sins of the world. In Isaiah, we're told that we are to shout from the housetops, and we're told that we should comfort those people that are looking forward or were looking for Christ. We find people today that are being convicted of their sin. And in that conviction, many times, we have the opportunity to lead them to the Lord, to lead them to repentance of sin, and to lead them realizing that it is not only the birth of Christ we're celebrating, but we should celebrate the birth of every person that repents of their sin and comes to Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. We find many people that want to try and shortchange that and just say, if you love God, you're okay. And we find that Jesus has told us, and that he has told the Pharisees and the Sadducees of his day, that it was to do the will of God was to believe on his Son. And his Son had come into the world to die that cruel death on the cross to save us from our sin and to pay that penalty for our sin. We find that we are to come to Christ, and that as we come to God and to Christ, that we can comfort those that are being convicted and make them realize to not only repent of their sin, but that Christ could be born anew in them, as Christ should be born anew in each one of us, because we ourselves as Christians want to or should want to please God in all that we say or do. And it tells us too all there, as he goes on in chapter 20 or 40 in Isaiah, we find that he talks about John the Baptist and how the voice of one crying in the wilderness to prepare the way of the Lord. And as we prepare the way of the Lord, as John the Baptist cried out, repent of your sins, and he came with the baptism of repentance. But he said, there is one coming after me that will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. We find today that as we accept Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior, God gives us the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, we will come to you and comfort you. My Father and I will come and live within you, and your body then will be a temple of the Holy God. We find that Jesus also told the Pharisees and the Sadducees that John the Baptist was a form of Elijah coming, because he cried unto them that the coming of the Lord was near. And Jesus, after his baptism, of course, had 3 years of testimony and of his ministry here on earth before they put him to death. We find in that short period of time that we have not only been told in Isaiah that a virgin would give birth to a child. We read in Matthew and in Luke the things that Joseph thought about of putting Mary away because she was found with child, and yet God intervened and told Joseph, this child is of the Holy Spirit. Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. He did take her, and he knew her not until after the baby was born. And that baby was born in a stable and laid in a manger. We find that this doesn't happen today, yet God found that having Jesus born in the lowest of the lowly places to be born, that it was to praise God and to glorify him. God says, I'll take the foolish things of the world and glorify, and my name will be glorified through them. He says, my thoughts are above your thoughts, and my ways are above your ways. And we have to remember that. We see that he did not send out an invitation to the kings and princes and the scribes, but he sent it to the shepherds, because they were willing to listen, and they were willing to go forward when they had been told that a Savior had been born, that they were willing to go and check it out for themselves, and then they broadcast it to all who would hear that Jesus, the Lord and Savior of the world, had been born. When a couple of years later, we find the wise men coming, and they find Jesus in the house, and then they brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And we find all of those were used by Christ himself, as God took care of him as he had to flee into Egypt, and even on all the way onto his death. And we find that these spices and this gold was something that was presented to Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, because those people knew and they were moved by the Spirit of God that a Savior had been born into the world. We look at the Advent period today and we find so much of these things happening, and we maybe don't understand them, or we get caught up so much in the physical stresses of the Advent season. We find that Philip had taken and went and got Nathanael in the 12 disciples. And as he brought Nathanael to Jesus, Jesus says, an Israelite indeed, in which there is no guile. And Nathanael, wanting to know how Jesus could say that, he says, I seen you when you were under the tree, and you are truly an Israelite. And right away, Nathanael acknowledges that he is the son of the living God, and Nathanael, one of the 11 that was crucified and martyred after Jesus rose from the dead and ascended into heaven, Nathanael is one of those that was killed for his faith. And we find that he did it willingly because he loved Jesus. He loved the advent that God had sent his only begotten Son into the world, and he was willing to give his life for it. And so we find Jesus, not, or Mary, not only find favor with Jesus to give the birth to her, to his son, but we find Mary taking and pondering these things in her heart, and I am sure she taught and talked to many people that would listen to her about Christ and how he was the Son of the living God. And we find also that God not only has told us in the book of Isaiah the greatness of Christ's coming, and probably more times than not in Isaiah, as we study that book, you could find about Christ's coming and some of the things there. We also find the second coming of Christ when he will come again. If Christ has lived in your heart and has come into your life once, have you kept him there or have you cast him out? We pray that we would keep him forever, that we would be willing to live for him, and that we would be willing to do his will, even though it might upset the way we want to do things, because our ways are not God's ways. We find, too, that in all of this, that in Revelation, Jesus is caught up to heaven. It tells us that in Revelation, in chapter 12 of Revelation. And we find that Jesus is not only the light of the world, but he is also the good shepherd. He is the one that brings us the eternal food. He is the one that gives us the manna in which to eat daily as we read and study his word. Jesus is also the one that gives us the eternal water from his word in which we can drink from and we can live forever. We find in this Advent season it's a whole lot more than just Jesus coming into the world and being born. We find that Jesus had taken on sin in its fullest and fought the battle for us. He paid that battle on the cross, and he won that battle by rising again the third day. And if you look a little bit, and if you'll notice, we left out in the creed, descended into hell. The original creed, written in 360 AD, did not have that in it. It was put in later to try and make people understand he was put into a grave or into a tomb. And so to take and say he descended into hell is a sentence in the creed in which was added after the creed had been written in 360 AD. And so we find, did Christ talk to the prisoners in hell, or when did he do it? He told the thief on the cross, today you will be with me in paradise or in heaven. And he tells us the same thing, that if we have Christ in our personal life and we have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, that when we die, and because we are like the grass which withers and the flowers which fade, that one day our life will end here, our physical life, and it will be at that time that we will stand before Jesus himself, and we will either hear him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the rest of your Lord," or we will hear him say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." And we find that Jesus has said, "I will bring and reward each one according to the works that they have done." Is your life and my life, we claim to be Christians and living for the Lord, that we are actually doing it, or are we only doing it in word? Let us make sure our hearts are cleansed, our life is cleansed, and our life is stayed on Jesus Christ, that he not only came to be born as a baby in the manger, but he grew. And as he grew into a man that professed and told us how God so loved the world that he came into the world through the plan of salvation, which was written even before the world began and before the world had been made. And in that salvation, we have eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It is that life that we not only want to worship him, but we want to call from the housetops and the mountains that Jesus is our Lord. That yes, we know and we've read, and as we continue in our Advent season, let us not forget that Jesus came for you and for me. And as he came to give us not only joy and peace, but he gives it to us in a troubled world. We can go through this troubled world having peace of soul, peace of mind, peace of heart, because Christ is with us. Christ is living in us. He gives us health, and he gives us all the things we need for our daily need and our daily tasks. We find that as we commit ourselves to Christ, that Christ will work through us, and he will give us the courage and strength to stand up for him. Satan will try and stop us, that is true. Satan will take our physical bodies, which decay and wither, and try and make us think God isn't with us. Yet Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And he says, "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself." So he came the first time as a baby. He's coming again, and he will take us home to be with him as he has prepared a place for us in heaven. In heaven, he will then give us a banquet and serve us himself, because we have walked with him and we will be the sons of God. We will be as the angels, but we will be sons of righteousness because we went through this life believing and trusting in Jesus Christ, believing that God sent him as a baby into the world, and that he grew up and died on the cross of Calvary and paid that price of sin for each one of us, that we do the work of God, and that's to believe that he sent Jesus into the world, and our faith would stand fast on that, that we would not be troubled by the things going on around us, but we would stand fast on the word of God. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would watch over each one of us and keep us. Help us, O Lord, to stand fast for you forever. And I pray, O God, that you would watch over us and keep us as we leave this place, that your birth is not the only thing we worship. We worship what you have done on the cross of Calvary for each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us turn to hymn number 25.